being able to feel the space of your purity, feel the space of your I, knowing that your me and myself are going to have to trickle in here. But feel that space so that what you do, you give up unknowing for intention, and you give up not caring for responsibility, and you allow in information, hope, freedom, and calm, because you sit in this space of brilliance.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to season 5 of Stand Up and Stand Out. Can you believe it? Already to season 5? It has been a whirlwind year already. A lot has happened. You guys know after listening to season 4 that I just launched Chameleon Mindset, my new book about how to embrace change and build mental resilience to transform your life and career. Lots more information, obviously, coming on Chameleon Mindset. We'll have the new online course coming soon. We've been doing lots of webinars, and I'll be on the road for the book tour. So hopefully we'll get to catch up together soon. Because why not just do another one? I have another book that just came out, The Great Leadership Awakening. In this book, I collaborated with 20 other amazing women. Each of them contributed a chapter talking about when their leadership was awakened and part of their transformation, maybe over the pandemic or maybe over a longer period of time, really stepping into their power and showing what it means to truly be a leader. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to season 5 of Stand Up and Stand Out. We are interviewing the wonderful women of The Great Leadership Awakening, which has just launched. If you haven't picked up a copy of the book, please go grab a copy. And today we are going to share the spotlight with Eileen. And Eileen has effectively built 2 careers while anchoring her journey in service to others and her community. First in the banking industry, where she held multiple senior level positions, and then she parlayed her experience to a second multifaceted career as a coaching expert, business consultant, professor, and renowned speaker. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you, Nikki, for having me.
In her chapter, if you guys are looking at your book, she has chapter 9. And it's entitled The Effects of Strength, Diamonds, Aphorisms, and Amelia on Me, Myself, and I. Oh, so much wrapped up in this chapter. Maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, some of your story, but really what inspired you to bring these things together in this book?
You know, the main themes throughout both this chapter and pretty much my life, whether it's career 1, career 2, personal, professional, has been the idea of looking beyond just me and looking outward to see where and how I can contribute. And so the concept of the quote that I use in the aphorism that I use in the book or in the chapter is from Rabbi Hillel, who is an incredible Jewish scholar from many, many years ago. And when Hillel talks about, if I'm not for myself, will be for me. And if I'm only for myself, what am I? And if not now, when? It seemed like it would be a really nice way to organize my thoughts and the chapter. And for the most part, much of what I have done in terms of a North Star and how I want to frame the work that I do, the being that I am.
That's beautiful. And I think people will follow along on that journey with you. And probably a lot of it will resonate with them, of them uncovering themselves first through the eyes of others as others are trying to show them what they see, but then in also finding their own uniqueness and really championing that through their career and their personal life. So I'm excited to learn more about you. You've had a lot of exciting, you know, changes throughout your career and probably things you didn't expect to happen. So tell us a little bit about that first kind of pivot as you were starting your career in the bank.
So there's a story that I tell in the book about just starting out in banking. And the backstory of it is that I had studied to go into psychology. I wanted to be a therapist. And upon graduating from college, it was sort of important for me and for my parents to get a bit more experience before going out and being a therapist with others. So I applied and was accepted to a bank training program, which at the time was a 9-month program. And I was first day on the program, and so excited. I was all dressed up and ready to go. And I found out that I was the first external candidate that they had chosen to come into this program. So everyone else who was there of a class of about 20, 25, were all promoted from within the bank to come up and to become now an officer, a vice president, assistant vice president. And so within the first couple of days, it was very clear to me that I was different, that I didn't necessarily know the language and I didn't necessarily know the customs. And I certainly didn't necessarily know the way that I needed to show up. I came into the class. First thing I found out is that you're supposed to wear makeup and put your hair up and lipstick and, oh, you can't wear pants in a bank and lots of things. But what really was sort of eye-opening and awakening for me, if you will, pun intended, was we were told on our second or third day of training to go out into the community and to pick up collateral materials from other financial institutions so that we could bring back a collage of information and be able to explain how the organization that I was with, the bank I was different. What did we have that was different? And I was so excited. This was right up my alley. I ran out and I went to all these different financial institutions and I collected all the collateral. And then I went to the art store and I got all my collage making materials. I got my big board and I got my glue sticks and I got my scissors, of course, with ragged edges. And I got all of this great information. And I spent hours, Nikki, putting together this collage. And the next day when I walked in, and I have to tell you, I was wearing a suit with a dress, with a skirt, and I was made up and my hair was in a ponytail and I was ready to come in. And here I come in with my big board. And as I walk into the room and I look around, there was no other boards. And everyone had this manila envelope, little folder under their arms. And my friend, who I had met 2 days earlier, came up to me and said, wow, what exactly did you bring in with you? And I said, well, I brought in a collage, brought in the board. And he looked at me with just such compassion, is probably the right word, saying, when we use the word collage in the bank or training, what we're talking about is bringing in a number of different pieces of material, and it is conceptual. It's not literal. And to be honest with you, I grew up taking things literally. I grew up a bit with a perceptual learning disability. So when I realized the mistake I made, I was mortified. When the trainer came in and told me to leave the classroom because I was practically acting like a kindergartner, that I had come in with an arts and crafts project as opposed to a manila folder, I went home and realized I had just a couple of different options. I could leave because I was mortified and embarrassed and didn't fit in. I could go back and follow exactly what the rules were now that I understood them. Or I could go back with the rules having been followed, but try to expand a little bit, showing that I'm a rule follower, but I look at it in a little different way. And ultimately, it was the third. I went in and I had my manila folder and I was dressed apart and I had my big board with my collage. And long story, a little bit shorter, 9 months later, I was the first person out of that class to be offered a significant role, an officer role. It was in marketing and I had the nickname of Fresh Eyes. And from then on, there hasn't been a time in my career, which I don't mention in the book, but I think it's so important. There hasn't been a time in my career that I haven't felt that I needed to follow the rules so that I could break the rules. Because if I didn't follow them, people would think I couldn't. But I wanted them to know that if I wasn't thinking it was a good rule, it's because I had tried it at least. And that has served me well over my different careers.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nikki Green, and I am a life and business resiliency expert. I have been helping people for over 2 decades overcome their challenges and achieve their life and business goals. I wrote Chameleon Mindset for others seeking clarity while acclimating to new situations. This entertaining yet research-based guide to transitions will open your mind to unique strategies for finding purpose, and achieving your goals. Through my new book, you will create the happy life you desire with five philosophies for change, beginning with C for creative adaptability. Move from resistance to resilience by assessing and adjusting your risk tolerance. The practical lessons in Chameleon Mindset will help you shift your mindset, sharpen your skill set, and overcome the things holding you back from dealing with change. We'll have the new online course coming soon. There are half a dozen modules in total, but the way you choose to pursue your destiny, it's up to you. Each module can be done independently or repeated as necessary to tackle new obstacles and new goals in your life. And you can earn extra chameleon coins for uncovering them. What are chameleon coins, you might ask? These are reward XP that you can earn to purchase additional chameleon mindset benefits as you progress through the course. You can get swag, group coaching, one-on-one coaching, exclusive event tickets, and networking opportunities. And if you collect enough coins, you can even earn a full-day VIP intensive with me to work solely on your goals. And by joining the Chameleon Crew, you will also gain access to my network of thousands of influential people around the world with expertise to help you on your business, your personal endeavors, health and fitness, and so much more. Reserve a copy today and click below to be added to our subscriber list. That is such a good lesson and definitely shows you being chameleon. And I love that because this is the tough part for many people is they come up with an idea and they get very connected with it, like you did with the board. And I would have done the same thing, to be real honest. I would have walked in super proud, you know, glitter, bright colors, and been like, this is, you know, a great comparison of these materials. And I would have been disappointed to see so many people just do what feels like kind of to me a minimalist activity, right? Here, I just collected them and here's somebody else's work. This was very genuine, but you did this great twist on it. And really putting those things together, I'm like, okay, I got it. We can try it this way. But you know what would be a little bit better, a little bit cooler, a little bit more insightful is let me actually show you what this means to me, what I see from this and how, you know, maybe we would do things differently. So I think this is a great lesson for so many people. And I hope people read the chapter and learn about it too. So one of the things is you talk about, like you said, the teaching of if you don't reveal the I, this part of yourself that's unique, then who are you? And the value of, you know, there's the me that operates because you're learning from others around you, but that's just a shell. And I love that contrast. And I'd love you to share a little bit more how that served you in your life and continues to serve you.
So in the book, the passage that I talk about is really interpreting that Hillel line of, if I'm not for myself, who will be for me? And there's an interpretation that has resonated with me. And the idea is identifying sort of those two distinct selves, the I and the me. The I being, who is my person, myself? Who am I really? And who am I in the very, very best of me that I can be? The divinity of me, the divineness of me. And knowing what that is. And then, you know, the interpretation talks about in contrast. I'm not sure if it's in contrast or it's in relationship. But there's a relationship with the me self or your persona. And I think of that a little bit as the pruned I. What's happened over all these years that has sort of pruned my enthusiasm? What happened to that wide-eyed, pant-wearing, no makeup, bored collage maker who walked in it now, as opposed to looking at everything 100% creatively, is now changed a bit. So then I do have a filter. I have a filter now of making sure I understand what's being asked of me, making sure I can fulfill it, and then being able to add to it. And I think if I had just turned in that manila folder, I would have been with the me. But coming in the I, coming in with the concept of this is who I really am. And Nikki, you said it a little bit earlier, sort of the take of, this is my interpretation. This is how I am filtering it in. And of course, throughout the chapter, I talk about strengths and I talk about the interesting piece of having had eye cancer and the way that I see things and the way that I interpret things. It's all sort of centered in this space of being able to identify which part of me, myself, or I is playing. You know, Freud talks about the ego, the id, and the superego. Hillel talks about me, myself, and I. And I talk to myself about, you know, where is that sort of authentic me? And where is the me, to your point, to your chapter, where I need to tap into that chameleon piece so that I have a chance to be able to make some of the contributions that I want to make. But if I can't get into the door, if I can't get past the manila folder, then I don't even get a chance to play.
And it's so important. It's something that was a very difficult lesson for me, as well as I grew up knowing, like, well, if I want to succeed, I've got to do the manila folder, like, first and foremost. I could do the others as extra credit. And so I always led with that, but it never felt quite right. I was like, man, I can do more than this. I want to do more than this. I see a bigger vision. And I just, so many, you know, teachers and early managers just kind of squash that. And it was really hard in the beginning. And I know so many feel that too, especially people that just started working during the pandemic, maybe just barely coming out of school. And you have a very limited relationship with these people. And all of a sudden, you know, it just feels like, oh, is this it? Is this all I'm going to be doing for work? And trying to figure out how to be able to apply that creative lens, provide your unique experiences and viewpoint to things, because it's going to be necessary for the future. Things are evolving. Things are changing so fast. And we're going to need different viewpoints to really be able to solve some of these complex problems.
100%. And I do think, you know, having had the opportunity and the responsibility to have been a C-suite executive, to be a business consultant, to work with organizations as they are, you know, maturing and taking on different kinds of events, it's really important for us as leaders, and probably even more as leaders, to be aware of our own intentions, our own filters, and to be appreciative of our own strengths and contributions, so that in fact we can continue to help others shine in their light. And that to me is a calling that all of us have who are going to be putting voice out there in terms of our opinions, our experiences, our leadership, so that more people, more women, more people who maybe have had less opportunity to voice, that they get a chance to hear their own voice, so that then they can figure out where it is and how it is they want to join in, lead, follow, whatever that may be. Just be.
And that's what I love about this book, is so many eclectic experiences, so many diverse backgrounds, and really not just showing that we're so different, but actually the similarities. And that can really encourage so many others to hopefully start sharing their story and learn those lessons like we have on how to build from those experiences and make the next great thing happen. You talk about this leadership diamond in there, and I do want to touch on that a bit, because I do love these visual representations of leadership so that people can orient themselves onto the things that are important to them as they step into these leadership roles. So maybe you're well versed in this, and so why don't you share a little bit about the leadership diamond and how people can kind of ground themselves in their leadership styles?
Thank you for asking. And that's the diamond part of the, you know, diamonds, the effect of the diamonds. So when you think of a diamond, there's four points of a diamond, right? And when you think of that diamond, whichever of the orientations I'll share in a minute are across from one another, the concept is the polarity, the tension between two things. So if you think about two points of the diamond being reality and vision, think about having your feet on the ground, really feeling the, you know, the firma tierra, to be able to feel the truth that's underneath you, the facts that are the truth, not the stories, but the facts that are your truths. And then to think about across from that, the ability to put your head up in the sky and put your arms up in the sky and to think about this imagery of what's possible. What can I see? What can I imagine? Think of that as a vision orientation. And so just to think about those two points is sort of, where am I now and where can I possibly go? And the tension of needing to know what each of those looks like. And oh, by the way, in a team, there may be people that are stronger in the reality than they are in the vision. There are more people that are more strategic and less detailed and whatever that might be. But really knowing what that feels like, those two. And if you think about your body, think about your feet and your arms. And if you think about this as a gap analysis, where I am and where I'm going, the how I'm going to get there, the how of ethic, which is another point of orientation on the diamond, of what's the right thing to do and how do I make sure I'm doing things right? How do I really have the right to earn somebody's trust? Why should somebody follow me? How can they believe in me? How do I make sure I see them? I know them. I care about them. And the courage to sometimes step out, believing in yourself, believing in your gut, and also sometimes having to step out in sort of an activist-y kind of way, in a way that may be bringing in a freaking board into a room. And early in my career, I didn't necessarily have the courage. But as time goes on, because I have this orientation and imaginist, reality and ethics are across from one another. The truth is, we need to make changes in our organization. We need to upsize or we need to downsize or there's things going on. And the ethic is, how are we going to make some of these decisions? And when those two are across from each other, that's the polarity that we're talking about. So what I love about a diamond is you can keep changing it and you keep getting to see the beautiful schisms around it and being able to, you know, kaleidoscope the concept of this. And that's really what Peter Kestenbaum meant when he said, he's a brilliant philosopher, a psychiatrist, but what he talked about is being able to feel the space of your purity, feel the space of your I, knowing that your me and myself are going to have to trickle in here, but feel that space so that what you do, you give up unknowing for intention. And you give up not caring for responsibility. And you allow in information, hope, freedom, and calm because you sit in this space of brilliance.
I love this. And I really want to encourage people. You know, Eileen has an exercise in the book that she's referencing a little bit here as we talk about the diamond. And I'll tell you, my boyfriend and I actually did this last night at the dinner table. And, you know, leadership comes in so many things. You know, we often talk about our career, but it's also about how we lead as a family, like how we lead our kids, how we lead to our community. And so, you know, we shared our thoughts as we went through the exercise about, you know, what really came to mind as we were doing it. So reading is an interactive exercise, kids. So make sure you jump in there and you do the exercise and do the work, because that's how we learn, we develop, and you really internalize some of these concepts to make sure that you're leading and showing up the ways that are intentional and courageous for you.
This has been so fun. I could sit and talk forever.
I know. Isn't it great? Well, we're almost out of time, but there was a very serious note at the end, and you hit on it a little bit at the beginning of the interview, but you did have a fight with a very rare eye cancer, and that right now, you know, especially throughout that journey, very challenging journey, that every day feels like a gift and that you are thankful to be surrounded by family, friends, and the wonderful experiences through your career. So maybe just share a little bit about the importance of that and how that has transformed you as well through that journey.
Thank you for asking about it. You know, it's interesting when you have, I'm guessing, really any disease. I'll talk for myself in terms of cancer. My cancer was, it was harrowing, and I was patient one, which ended up being patient none, but the story for a different day. But patient one of being treated for my cancer that 100% either killed somebody or came back as a much worse cancer, a brain cancer. And UCLA Johnson Cancer Center came in and said, look, we want to try something. We want to treat you for what it's going to come back as, which means we want to treat you for central nervous system cancer. And that's going to include lots and lots and lots of chemo. And then we're going to give you a stem cell, and hopefully it can be your own if your bone marrow is okay, and it was. And then we're going to bring you back. And we're going for cure because that's the only way that we can have any hope. It's going to be fights with insurance companies, fights with everybody else, but let's do it. Let's bring you back. And what I learned is that in the 50 years coming into having had cancer, is that I never truly understood the word trust. It never truly resonated with me until I had to trust my life to professionals, only whom I had known for a very short period of time, weeks practically. I had to trust in my partners and my friends that they would take care of me, but also be able to take care of each other, and that they would be there for one another, however that needed to look and whenever that needed. And I had to trust that the love and support I got from clients who were absolutely incredible at ensuring that not just that they showed that they cared, but that they continued to feed my soul with asking for my gifts, for my strengths, believing that I was going to be able to come back. And I think that one of the things that has stayed with me now from that time on is really that third piece, if not now, when I'm so glad I figured out that I needed to trust people. I had gone into company business by myself. I was building a team. I was forming a women's leadership network for women, helping other women for professional transition and raising money. And here I was needing help. And I still do. I still need help because I can still see the remnants of my cancer through my eye from what was left of the biopsies and the pieces. And so every minute I look out my eyes, I know I am a fighter. I'm fighting to be here. And if I'm going to be here, then I'm going to make it really worth my while. I'm going to make sure that there are people that need help that are getting it. I created the Health Equity Fund through the Johnson Cancer Center so that more people can get the kind of services that I got. We work with a number of different organizations and created with mentoring programs. And with every contract that I take on through my company, El Camino Group, it all has a piece. And every time I speak or facilitate or profess, it comes with an ownership, a responsibility, a call for people to go beyond themselves, that now is the time that we coalesce together, that we teach one another, that we listen to one another, that we serve one another, and that we understand how we need to feed ourselves so we're able to do just that. What do we need to do to take care of ourselves, and who do we need to trust? So I feel very, very fortunate in my life, and I'm loving that I've gotten a chance to meet a whole new group of women who very quickly, I trust, have a like mind and calling to be of service to others.
Well, that was beautiful. I really appreciate your story and your journey. You know, I watched my grandmother go through 4 bouts of cancer, and to see the courage and the strength that it took for her to continue to have to deal with, you know, again, like you said, different doctors, different hospitals, always being shuttled around, never quite feeling well. It was difficult. And so I really applaud you for, like you said, not just going to help yourself, but also going for the cure and really helping others, so many others, getting treatment, getting the, you know, help that they need. I really appreciate all of that effort. And I know it was a struggle, but I'm so happy that you are here, and I'm blessed to have met you and have you on our podcast.
Thank you so much, Nikki.
Well, on that note, we're going to end today's show. It has been an absolute joy. I was so lucky to meet Eileen. I hope our paths continue to cross again in who knows many unique ways. If you guys didn't grab the book yet, please go on to Amazon and grab The Great Leadership Awakening. Learn more about all of these wonderful women and the work that they're doing. Eileen, before we sign off, is there just maybe one or two ways that folks can find you, get a hold of you, if they're interested to learn more about the great work that you are doing?
Thank you. I'm in the book and in biography and on LinkedIn. If you look at Eileen Frakia, or you go to Eileen, Eileen Frakia, FRACCHIA at elcaminogroup.com is my email. elcaminogroup.com is our website. I absolutely open for anyone to reach out, talk more.
Fantastic. And we'll have all of that in the show notes as well, so you guys can grab the links and learn more. Thanks everyone for joining us today for another episode of Stand Up and Stand Out. You know you can catch us where all the cool kids hang out, the Do Podcast, on all the major platforms. And if you want to connect with Nikki directly, you can get a hold of me on my personal site, thenikkigreen360.com. There you can check out my website, you can see any of my new books, you can learn more about this podcast, and follow us on social. Can't wait to hear from you, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.